Where to begin? Hey, listen, we're going to begin right now in the presence of God. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we just simply come to receive from you today, to come before the throne of grace. God, we just want to change. Lord, we just want you to speak into our lives. We want you to search us deeply, God. We want to see the dynamic work of the Spirit of God within our hearts, within our lives. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, with all of who I am and all of where I am, I just lay myself out before this incredible throne of grace. Guide me. Grant me wisdom. Direct me. Oh God, change me. I pray in Jesus' name. Dear friends, today we come to an incredible invitation. Absolutely, totally incredible. When you go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, you can begin with reading verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Now, there's the call of God. The reason why Christ, the Son of God, because of Him, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. That we confess is the word. And there's the call from God the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we feel weak. Sometimes we are tired. Sometimes, because of the world, the flesh, and the devil, we let slip the depth of our devotion. The depth of our grip. Now is the time to re-grip. To grip the grace of God. To literally grip the Word of God, bind the Word of God to your heart. So when we read this Word, let us hold firmly. Let us hold firmly. Incredible. Let me ask you, if you've got a grace, if you've got a grasp of the grace of God, if you've got a grasp of the Word of God, that's part of the evaluation, that's part of the assessment. That's part of today's message about, well, you know, where do we go from here? What do we do right now? And I think that when we begin to get before the Lord and allow Him to assess us and allow Him to evaluate us, and if we are not afraid that God knows how to speak into our lives, listen, it's better to let Him speak into our lives, to seek His voice, His leading, His wisdom, to look to Him for it, than to have to be confronted. I mean, we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are God's family. We are His kids. And He does have a right to bring into our lives discipline, conviction, to check us. Any good parent, knowing that their little child is going to run out of the yard and onto the street, will stop them. How much more God the Father? How much more the grace of God? And so there's times that we just need to say, God, is there any directions that I'm going, Lord, that I need you to stop me? That I need you to speak to me? I don't want to go in the wrong direction. I want to be going in the right direction at the right time in God's grace. And that involves walking with God. That involves fellowship with God. That involves loving God and every day being in that mirror of the Word and having God speaking into our lives. Listen, it is the active believer in Christ that gets the leading. Listen, are you listening to God? Are you there at the throne of grace? Let's take a look at this word again. It tells us very clearly to hold firmly to the faith we profess or confess. We're told in verse 15, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. Now, this is God. This is God who cares about the weaknesses. This is the same God that shows us in Romans chapter 8 that when we don't know how to pray, because of our weaknesses, God the Holy Spirit will help us. It's all right to bring our weaknesses before God. It's all right because, listen, arrogance and pride saying we can do it all on our own. I mean, that was the voice of Satan himself in the garden, you know. We didn't need God and we could become gods ourselves and we can... You know, that's the voice of the enemy. No, we need God. Listen, God gives air to breathe. Your heart beats today because of the creative power of God. And listen, as a believer now in Christ, given the gift of the Holy Spirit, given a new dynamic nature that enables us to grow, enables us to become stronger. But it involves, listen, our participation now. It involves, listen, our sense of, you know what? I want to follow the will of God. I want to do God's will. I want to learn about God. Don't you want to learn? Don't you want to grow? Don't you want to bear fruit for the Lord? May the Spirit of God speak to us. May the Spirit of God speak into our hearts. Because in the midst of our assessment and evaluation and where do we go, from here, this third day in the midst of 31 days, ablaze. This is all about, you know, coming up out of weakness and into strength. This is all about coming up out of failure and into victories. This is all about coming out of sin and conviction and even hiding from God into the full embrace, into that manifest personal, immediate relationship, into the joy of the Lord, into that joy and that power of bearing God's fruit and seeing great things done for the Lord. None of us really want God to have to drag us along. God's got a great, awesome, and incredible mission. God's got a great, incredible future for all of our lives. He knows everything about us. Let's listen. I mentioned the other day, Isaiah 48, God knows what is best, and He leads us in the way that we should go. And listen, in the midst of all of that, there are going to be times that we come before the Lord and we felt the weakness, we felt the other things in our lives. There are things in my life I wish 20 years ago I would have known now. I wish 20 years ago I would have made choices based on God's wisdom. There are things that I think I could have been stronger at, more fruit that I could have bore, more of God's power, presence, life to rely upon. When it comes down to everything, it simply is by faith alone in Christ, everything has been given. We receive Christ and all that flows from Him, by faith alone, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the promises of God, the hand of God. And so in this inseparable, unbroken, living fellowship with Christ, I look to the one that, listen, can sympathize with the weaknesses that I go through, that I have. Someone, as the Scripture says here in Hebrews 4, who's been tempted in every way, just as we are. Just as we are, yet was without sin. He conquered it. He was confronted again and again and again. But again and again, no. The line was drawn in the sand. He decided clearly from the beginning to do the will of the Father. And in the gravest of temptation, Matthew 4, Jesus stood His ground. And I'm going to tell you right now with the empowerment. Listen, Christ in you, power, ability, strength, empowering your will to be able to draw a line in the sand and say no to the failures, to the sins, to the things. Sometimes, I'm telling you, sin can, it's always about, you know, the old sin nature wanting us to, you know, the old sin nature's never going to, you know, tell us anything good. always trying to convince us of our weakness. Satan always trying to convince us of our weakness. God recognizes the weakness, but he points the way to strength. He points the way to mercy. He points the way to grace. And that's where verse 16 comes into play. When I read verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. We read, with boldness come before the throne of grace. I got four things to say about that. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Number one, God is there. God is there. Awesome. The living Jesus. He's there. He's there. That's the number one thing. All the time, he's there. He's always there to hear us. He's always there to listen to our cry, to listen to our plea, to listen to our complaint. As we bring our heart, as we bring our life, as we bring even our troubles. I mean, listen, you could read the Psalms and see it again and again and again and again, where the believer brings his trouble, brings his grief, brings his pain, brings it all to the presence of God. And when he does that, every time, God answers, God brings deliverance, God shows up. Every single case in the book of Psalms, 150 Psalms. You can check it out yourself. Circle it as you're going through. The writer is able to bring grief and pain and a heart full of confusion and even his complaint. He brings everything. He makes God his refuge. And when that occurs, God brings an answer. God brings a deliverance. God brings victory. And so when we get this invitation in verse 16. First of all, God is there. Christ is there. He's been through it all. He's got victory over it all. He knows how to sympathize. He knows how to have compassion. He knows how to heal wounds. He knows how to call us. Stand up. Second thing is, you're invited. You're called. I mean, awesome, living God, infinite God calls you. Come. Come. The invitation is there. You don't have to sit on the outside of the door knocking and knocking and knocking. You don't have to make some kind of appointment for next week. It's now. It's right now. It's this day. It's every day. It's every moment of the day. God lives. And the invitation is come. And just turn your heart, turn your mind. Bring yourself to the throne, thirdly, of grace. This is not some stern Pharisaical religion. This is the throne of grace. When you think of the locality of God, when you think about coming before God, we're not talking about the emanation of anger. We're not talking about someone pressing his thumb down on our head. Look what it says. God says it. Let us then approach the throne of grace. That operative grace. God gives, whether we deserve it or not, God gives because he loves you. God gives, that's his will. Again, if you go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1 through 3, you're going to read about how in the Old Testament there was progressive revelation in Moses and so forth, the law. But now in Christ, grace and grace upon grace. It's not about a certain, you know, listen, God's not a cell phone where the energy bars eventually weaken. Where grace weakens. Where you've used up all your minutes. God's packed. Matter of fact, the Spirit of God guides Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 to say that he kneels before the Father, that he's seeking God out of his glorious riches. We're talking about infinite grace, piles of grace, massive grace, willed grace, grace upon grace. Let us then approach. God loves. That's what he's all about. That's what he's all about. And so we're told to come with confidence. That Greek word, freedom of speech, unfettered, nobody holding us back. You can come any way you are. If you come before the Lord, say, Lord, I know somehow in my life there's sin, there's failure, there's this harm, there's this hurt, there's this neglect. All right, come. Let God patch you up. Let God speak into you. One way to do that, delve into the Word of God. Put yourself into the Word of God. Another way to do that, just be in the presence of God and begin to praise God and look to Him. But realize, if you're going to say, God, change me, move me from glory to glory. I want to be stronger. I want to serve you. I want to walk with you. I want you to so come through my life that others come to Christ. Then come daily. Come whenever. Come as God beckons you. God calls you. Come before the throne of grace with confidence, boldness, freedom. And what's the reason? Look at the Word of God. It says, so that. It's a little thing they call a hina clause. Sometimes it means with the result, other times for the purpose. That we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Where do I begin? Where do I begin when I have pain, failure, knowingly neglecting God, neglecting calling, neglecting the Word of God? Where do I go if I was a backslider living in misery and living convicted? I come to Christ. I come to a throne of grace. I come to one who can sympathize with me, knowing the weakness, but knowing how He can bring me up. Revival is in the hand of God. Revival is in the hand of God, reviving your soul, reviving your spirit, reviving your life. Revival, that next opportunity that God gives. Don't wait any longer, dear Christian. Don't wait any longer, dear believer. It is now. Stand up and walk in the mighty presence of God. How do you do that when you don't even know where to go? Begin at the feet of Jesus. Begin at the vast throne of grace where God has called you to come. Called you to come. He is there. You're invited. Grace and mercy to be poured out. And then fourthly, help. God promises you help. This is the infinite God. This is not some neighbor, some friend, some obscure person. This is not the government. This is God promising you help. God who's able to raise the dead. God who's able to divide a sea. God who's able to open the eyes of the blind. God who is able to crush Satan under the feet of the Roman church. Oh, go back to Romans 16:20 when the believers were oppressed. The entire collapse of old Rome was by the hand of God. On behalf of His people. God will fight for you. God will bring grace to you. God. But don't just sit there. Don't let the devil or anyone convince you that it's over. Shake loose of all of that. Where do you begin? At the throne of grace. Where Jesus is there. And by the Spirit of God calling you to come. Boldly, confidently, knowing that God will love you, God will speak into you, God can give you wisdom, God can, by the Spirit of God, bring you a verse of Scripture that answers the question, God that can speak into you, God that can touch you. But, oh dear believer, don't wait. Don't wait to the end of the 31 days. Right now, the Spirit of God calls you. You want revival? You want to be ablaze for God? Then just open up the totality of your life in the presence of the King of Heaven, the Savior who once was nailed to the cross. Oh, He broke free, all right, by blasting apart the finality of death, rising from the dead on your behalf. Resurrection power. Ephesians 1 tells us that the power that was exerted that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that God will use to strengthen you. Where to begin? My dear friend, Jesus. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.